You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
All right, Patrick Roycey, we have about 70 bajillion things to cover with you here today, but yes. I am curious. I've seen all of your tweets over the last 48 hours. What would you, if you were running the Twins front office and Byron Buxton's agent said, all right, $100 million, 7 years, no full no trade clause, and a bunch of MVP incentives worth millions more, take it or leave it. What do you do with Byron Buxton if you were running the Twins?
I take this deal. I think this deal is pretty good for him. It doesn't break the bank if he stops playing. I don't like the MVP clause, but just because I'm an MVP voter and I'm not suggesting any hijinks could take place, but it could. You know, the voting because of the lack of newspaper that are daily covering teams on a daily basis. And we're now getting people voting for the MVP that are not, you know, they're coming from different backgrounds, you know, than just the daily newspaper thing that it was for years. And I'm not saying we're more ethical, but I'm just saying it's a more an uncontrolled environment that these people are coming from. And, you know, if you can give a guy a sixth place vote and he ends up picking up $300,000 because he finished 10th in the MVP voting, because not that many different people get voted for, there's an opportunity for hijinks. You
this
know?
Seems like a good revenue source for the Mackey and Judd show. We got to get our MVP like votes first, and then you know it's just like a 5% cut of the bonus.
MVP,
you know,
vote. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying there's the potential because I have known sports writers who gambled. Okay, and I've known sports writers who gambled and lost heavily. Okay, and you know. Gamblers have a tendency to get desperate. So I'm not suggesting that it happens, but I'm just saying it's not a good way to set up. You know, we, the Baseball Writers of America, have a copyright on that MVP award. You know, they could assign it to a different Player of the Year award or something like that. But we have a copyright on it. It's not going away. It's not being moved to some more strictly controlled environment. So I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like the doing it on the voting, doing it. I love the fact that they're doing it on plate appearances. That's hard and fast, man. Now it's going to be very interesting when Doc Rock is trying to give him days off. You know, if he's healthy, you know, Doc Rock, well, you played. I heard a story yesterday on Doc Rock. That Kepler was hot, had three good games, and he wasn't in the lineup the next day. And somebody asked him, why not? And he said, well, 3 days in a row, you know, he needs a day off. No, he doesn't! You know, and I think this could be a good precedent because Buxton's, if he's healthy, he's going to want to play because he's going to want to get all those at-bats, right? All those plate appearances. So I think it's, I love this. Not only for what the incentive it gives Buxton to play, but the pressure it's put on Doc Rock from going in there and telling him he's not playing. He's, you know, maybe he won't go through the locker or clubhouse now and beg guys not to play like he has in the past. So, I got to take you out of the lineup. You played, you know, hell, you played 2 days in a row. We can't be having that. I really like that clause in his contract. I really like that one. And, you know, there's no denying that he makes him 20% better because he makes the pitchers better. He makes the fielding way better. And he's the only athlete they have, really, base running wise. And he's a good hitter. Now, I got news for you, folks. You've seen him hot like he was last April. you're still going to see those 2 weeks when he's chasing pitches outside the zone and he hits 125. That's going to happen. He's not a classic pure hitter. But Suhan today in his column did a pretty good job on it, but he made the comparison to Molitor becoming durable. Molitor DH'd when he became durable. Buxton is of no value if he DH's. His value is being in center field and being the best center fielder in baseball. That's my view on Buxton.
So hold on a second. So you heard a story that Kepler played three consecutive days.
Three days, yes.
And that
so Baldelli, a reliable source.
And that Baldelli said, I got to get you out for that fourth game.
Well, he didn't tell him that. He just didn't put him in a lineup card because he didn't want him to play another day because he had a sore back a week earlier or something. You know, one of Rocco's greatest flaw, I think, is he was injured so much in his own career. And he thinks maybe if he hadn't played 150 games when he was a kid, his first 3 years, he might not have gotten hurt. I think that's the only explanation to me, is that his paranoia about getting guys off their feet.
Yeah. Pat, I think
off his feet.
I think we've found the solution to make baseball more exciting in the offseason. 1 year CBA deals. Just do it like the Masters has a recurring 1 year deal that CBS gets first rights to. A 1 year CBA creating a lockout deadline on December 1st, and we get the Rangers just going nuts. The Rangers spent $500 million in like 24 hours.
For two shortstops.
I know.
It's amazing. Seager or somebody.
No, just put them both at short, Pat. Just standing next to each other.
Yeah, it is astounding. Well, I'm sure, you know, they opened that new ballpark last year. I mean, they opened it the year before, but there was a pandemic, so that nobody could go to the games. Last year, they opened it and they're horrible. And they must, you know, you're still in Texas. This is not baseball paradise, right? Okay. And I'm sure they looked at themselves and probably all those people who bought their advanced season tickets for the new stadium are probably saying, the hell with you. We're not going to go watch this. So they had to do something. But it is crazy. And, you know, the guy in, you know, George Steinbrenner would be embarrassed by the contract that Steve Cohen gave Max Scherzer yesterday. He's 37. Boris is so much – if Boris's great talent is to get to owners, you know, to – pass up. I heard Steve Phillips talking about this yesterday. As the general manager, he hated getting the owners involved. He never, you know, he wanted to do it himself. Well, look at Boris. He started the insane contracts by getting to the owners in Texas for A-Rod, right?
Yeah.
You know, he got the $250 million deal for A-Rod. And this is a Steve Cohen deal. The owner of the Mets who wants to make this big splash and be the new George. And he gets a 37-year-old pitcher who's got a bad back. I don't know. That's a lot of the $43 million a year is a lot of money for that.
Absolutely.
You know what it is? The one thing I do like is who's getting the big money, though. Starting pitchers. The way they've been de-emphasizing them, I was wondering if we were going to have them anymore. So I kind of like that. That the starters are the ones getting the money. Maybe Max will be allowed to go six if for this kind of money.
I don't know. It's asking quite a bit.
Six and a third, possibly. College football. What the hell? Like, we've seen crazy before, but this to me has jumped the crazy shark.
You know how all this happens? Agents. It's the agents.
Yeah.
You know, the agents. We always they talk about these search committees, right? The search committee, the agent, when a guy job like Southern Cal opens up, a job like LSU opens up, if they don't have the layup candidate sitting right in front of them, they start getting communications from agents. You know, Brian Kelly can be had, such and such can be had. Southern Cal knew that Brian Kelly was available. The Brian Kelly agent, I don't know who it was, but he was making it known. You know, Notre Dame isn't going $10 million for a football coach. Notre Dame doesn't do that. And I'm sure he wanted them to. And so they make him – so these big jobs open up. Brian Kelly's 60, 61 years old. and his agent saying, if you're ever going to do it, there's never going to be a year when Florida's open and LSU is open and Oklahoma is open and, you know, all these other jobs are open. There's never, if you don't move, do this now, you probably will never do it because there'll never be another year like this. So he moves. Lincoln Riley, now it turned out Lincoln Riley didn't lie because didn't he say, I'm not going to Florida, did he say? And then he got on a plane and went to Southern Cal, right?
LSU. He was asked about the LSU job. Yeah.
I'm not taking the LSU job. There is an asterisk with this, so I am taking the Southern Cal job.
Well, did you hear, you heard Brian Kelly a week ago, somebody asked Brian Kelly, is there ever any way that you would leave Notre Dame on your own volition? And he said, no. Mm-hmm. I think Mike Tomlin said it best a few weeks ago when he said there's not enough money in the Brinks truck. He said if somebody backed up a truck of $250 million, then maybe my wife would say, all right, we're going. He said that a week ago.
Yeah.
Well, by the way, it was $95 million over 10 years for Brian Kelly is the official report.
You know what? Paulie Walnuts was more honorable than college football coaches when it comes to telling the truth. You know, this Tony Soprano's right-hand men were more likely to tell you the truth than these guys. They're unbelievable. They're the lioness SOBs in sports. There's no, they have no ethics whatsoever.
Yeah, last night, Lincoln Riley was on with Scott Van Pelt last night, and Van Pelt kind of pressed him on the timing because – you know, they lost that game. Oklahoma loses on Saturday night late.
The Bedlam Bowl,
And then, you know, in the morning on Sunday, these details come out about him taking the job at USC. And he said, when did this all come together? And Lincoln Riley said, you know, early Sunday morning at all. You know, that was the first contact.
Oh, USC.
Wait a second. So and he's grabbing like four assistants and their families. So you guys had those. Scott Van Pelt was like, what, so did you not sleep? Like, were you negotiating overnight? And he goes, well, we slept for a couple hours, and then he had to get on the phone with the assistant.
This came up, though. He didn't know it going into the Bedlam Bowl. Huh?
Yeah, I got a text at 1 in the morning, and then 6 hours later, I'm on a private jet. Who knew?
Here's my first thought was that Venables is going to take the job, and then I see he's the number one speculated guy. He was. I don't know if that's still true or not, but he's the defensive coordinator at Clemson, who came from Oklahoma, and nobody could ever figure out why he doesn't leave because he had all these offers. But that's going to be him. It looks like Notre Dame might give it to Marcus Freeman, the African-American
defensive coordinator,
because somebody pointed out to me on Twitter, they have a killer recruiting class, and this guy's had a lot to do with it. I think they already got 23 guys committed, and I looked through it yesterday. And they're fourth in the country as far as being evaluated. This is probably their best recruiting class. I mean, they've always been top 10, but this is probably their best in years. So they probably will give him the job. Plus, they don't like to pay $10 million. And Fickle and Campbell had probably cost them – Fickle or Campbell had probably cost them $6 or $7 million a year. They could probably get Marcus Freeman for $4 and keep their recruiting class together. So I don't know. Were you a Kelly man, Phil, as a Notre Dame fan?
I'm a Notre Dame guy because, you know, my grandfather played there, and I loved the work that Brian Kelly did. But I guess I don't really have a butt. Like, for where Notre Dame's at, it's so much harder to recruit to Notre Dame than it is if you're in the SEC or I think USC. You just open up your back porch, and there's a bunch of great players in Southern California. So the fact that he recruited that many great players to Notre Dame in this day and age, it's not the 60s and 70s, it's not era Parsegian, you know, where they're the only nationally televised game, and he did a great job. So I would be lying if I said I wouldn't miss him.
He does not come off as a winning personality, but you can't argue with the results, that's for sure. I mean, he won a lot of games, and you know, they can replace him, I think, because the program's in such good shape right now, and with this recruiting class coming,
they're going to go to the playoff. They're going to go if Alabama gets beat by Georgia, there's a good chance Notre Dame jumps up into the four seed this year.
Chris Long, of course, a big Notre Dame fan. I still can't figure out why, but he's envisioning a Cincinnati Notre Dame game. I said only if they play for third place, you know, because if Cincinnati and Notre Dame are the 3 and 4, well, oh, you know, if you get to play Michigan, if Michigan ends up being the 2 seed, you can beat Michigan. I think.
Since it's funny, Cincinnati already beat Notre Dame earlier this year. Notre Dame's only lost
in South Bend, right? South Bend.
But the entire thing.
Fickle's a good Catholic boy too. I looked it up, so he would be to me very logical. But I got a hunch he wants to coach Cincinnati if they make the playoffs.
Yeah.
The entire thing now, though, is that I don't want to hear anything else about amateur sports in college. This is now professional sports, and I don't care. So I don't care if you're on what team in college now. This whole thing has become it's worse than pro sports because there's no regulation of anything now. Players are being paid by basically who the players are. Coaches are jumping because I guarantee you they're saying, I'm going to go to the place where I can pay the most players. That's this whole thing now. So, I mean, this whole amateur sports and this is as pure as it gets is complete garbage. Now, it's always been garbage, but it's now out in the open. It's now complete BS.
You got to like a world, however, when Paige Beckers, a sophomore from Hopkins, who is going to be making more money than anybody in the WNBA. She's now got Gatorade and Nike, right?
It's going to hurt her to leave college.
Well, she won't have to leave college. She doesn't have to leave college anymore. There's less incentive than ever to leave college.
No, I mean after 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Why would it petitioning to play 7 years in college? Well,
why would it hurt? Because she's so down. Why would it hurt her? Yeah. She can still carry those endorsements over.
Yeah. Yes, but she'll be less. She'll be less valuable in the pros than in college.
She'll be the best player in the WNBA.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
she'll be Diana Taurasi.
But yeah. UConn's a more professional program. People gravitate towards it. Yes. Yes. UConn has a bigger following of sports fans.
You think Diana Taurasi is bigger 15 years ago than she is now?
No, I'm saying now because she can be paid. Think about how this shapes up now. It's a different world.
Yeah, well, you know what? I only am on with you 3 days a week, Judd, and then we do that podcast. But sometimes you say stuff that does surprise me.
I'm telling you.
I think we need the hot take.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
You get these theories, and sometimes I get a few myself. Yeah. Now, Phil, you mentioned I got the tweet about Brian Kelly and butter is his spice. I guess that was suggesting he has a Midwestern palate or something, right?
Yeah, he's got that. So the Irish bland food look to him.
Well, if he likes butter, as I put, I sent out the recipe for barbecued shrimp down there. I think Brian will like that one, man.
Oh.
You put a bunch of shelled shrimp in melted butter with a lot of pepper. Then you start cooking it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you put in more butter, melted butter. Then you put in more spice. Then you put in more melted butter. Then you put in more spice. And when it gets done, they bring it out in a big vat. And you got to shell those babies. And you got a bib on you. And you got slop running down your face. And you got, you should use a hazmat suit. But it's fantastic, man. Pascal's Benelli in New Orleans. They might have taken Kelly there as part of his recruiting trip down there. Do these guys fly out on like a surreptitiously go to some airport that's not in the middle of town?
Lincoln Riley said it was all over Zoom with the USC people. So,
that it was?
Yeah.
That he'd already been out there?
No, he said that they just did a Zoom call. Riley did. I don't know. Brian Kelly might have spent a week and a half.
He flew out there, yeah.
Okay. No. He did like a stealth trip or something?
It is great, and what if you're a Florida fan though? You know, you look at the mighty Gators, and Southern Cal gets Lincoln Riley, and LSU gets Brian Kelly, and you got all these guys moving around, and you get Billy Napier from Louisiana. What the hell? What did Florida played Florida State last Saturday. Who cares? You know, how did that happen? How did that become a who cares game? You know, 10 years ago it was, oh, hey, Florida's playing Florida State. It's amazing what's happened at those two places.
Yeah. So the Washington Huskies, they hired the guy who used to be this thing, was it Sioux Falls or something? Like, he took Sioux Falls to an NAIA championship a few years ago or something.
Yeah, yeah,
like, right. That guy. Hey, all right.
Hey, Wolfies, the difference, what is happening with D'Lo here?
Playing defense.
D'Lo is playing everything. He's a playmaker. Yeah. He won the game for him last night. And Indiana's kind of tough. You know, they're kind of a tough team. They got that Brogdon, who I really like a lot. And it looked like they were going down the tank. And D'Lo bailed them out.
Yeah.
D'Lo, of all people. And that was after the refs absolutely hosed us on Cat's sixth foul. And they still, this two in a row that were classic losses, going to be classic losses for the Wolves that they won. You know, the other night they blow a 20-point lead and they don't lose. And then this one, they come back, get ahead, look like they're going to lose it, and then they win. It's incredible. They're over 500. I think, you know what, I was looking, they could be the four seed. Dallas is fourth. At, you know, there's three really good teams, and the rest of them are nothing. So
yeah, dude, yeah. Pat's on the bandwagon.
Pat's on the bandwagon. You know, who didn't do much last night, Anthony.
You know what, though, he did. In the third quarter, he did. See, that's the thing is, he changes things. When they ordinarily lost games is when he actually, like, came through last night, and it revived them.
Yeah. He had that sequence. He had a couple steals and an alley-oop and a three.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. And yeah, he totally revived them because they looked like they were going to be dead.
Down the stretch, he didn't have much.
No, he didn't, but and the other thing is, you know, we continue in the phase of Cat has never committed a foul in his life. And every time he gets even glanced, he's like,
he did get molested before he elbowed the guy in the head. I'll say that. It was, if you do that out on the street, you go to jail. That guy was,
that's great thing about sports.
Before he elbowed the guy in the face. So, yeah. But yeah, he does. He is a whiner. There's no doubt about it. But hey, you know, we have the best hockey team in the NHL. That's a given. But this Wolves thing is much more interesting.
Let's do it.
It's no fun being as good and as dominant as the Wild is. That's no fun. You know how those games are going to come out. There's some adventure in these Wolves games.
Yep. All right, Pat, we will catch you tomorrow, sir.
All righty. I think they're going to have Buxton's press conference Wednesday morning. They were hoping to do it late this afternoon, but he didn't start taking his physical till 5 last night. And you're going to give that guy a good physical with his history.
36-hour physical.
You just can't look at one
Doc
X-ray.
Rock might dip,
you can't look at one X-ray and say, second yeah, one. He's fine. Who cares? Yeah.
Doc Rock might say, no, hold on a second here. Did we really do that right? Let's look again.
All right, Jim.
All right. Yeah, that's Patrick Royce, Mackie and Judd, Score North YouTube channel.
This holiday season, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. And take your workout to the next level with accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, a heart rate monitor, cycling shoes, and more. Peloton, motivation that moves you. This limited time offer ends December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.